Over the last couple of evenings that I've been speaking, I have commenced a study of this psalm. So far we've looked at verses 1 and 2, and today, this morning, I would like to look at verses 3 and 4. But let's read the psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, or I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Dr. Scofield refers to this psalm as a secret place of security. And I think one of the important things that people are seeking today is a sense of security. Now, as far as national security is concerned, that's probably waned a little bit. We're not quite so frightened of the Russian bear as we used to be. But personal security, job security, are things that bother us very frequently in this life. How then can I feel secure when I have so many things that are instigating insecurity? How can I feel secure? Let me remind you at the outset that we're not talking about this body. This body's going to go through all sorts of things, good, bad, and indifferent. We're talking about the person who dwells inside the body. And whatever happens to this body, whatever I'm called to pass through, it's the person inside that needs to feel secure. Keep that in mind as we're looking at this psalm. Simple division of the psalm that we looked at were verses 1 to 8 are the grounds of security, and 9 to 16 the blessings of security. And as we looked at the grounds for security, we found that there were three things. First of all, there's the character of God in verse 1. In verse 2, there's the application of personal faith. And in verses 3 to 8, there's the faithfulness of God. And these things, if you like, are three foundation stones upon which I can rest and feel secure. The first, then, is the character of God. And as I pointed out on the evening that we talked about this, that there are two beautiful names for God used in verse 1. One is El Elyon, which is translated the Most High. And the other is El Shaddai, which is translated the Almighty. And in verse 1, I'm encouraged to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And when I do that, I find that I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And so I go into the secret place of the Most High God, and this name means the absolute in authority. There is no authority that can supersede His. And the second one refers to the all-sufficient one, the one who meets every need. So the first thing I find in verse 1 is that I am invited into the presence of this great God. The God who is absolute in power and authority, and the God who is absolute in provision. The word El Shaddai, title El Shaddai, the word Shad is the Hebrew word for breast. The part of the woman's anatomy from which the baby receives all that it needs to give it a good start in life. And the Spirit of God has used that word to describe the all-sufficient one for us. And so in verse 1, it's the character of God. The Almighty One, the all-sufficient one, whom I'm invited to know. And might I say this, that if there's someone here this morning who doesn't really understand what it means to go into the presence of the Almighty, doesn't understand what it talks about as abiding, and I haven't time to go into all those words today. Verse 1 is a beautiful verse if you take all the words apart and look at what we're being told. But the Gospels, when the angel comes to Mary, he talks of Christ as being the Son of the Most High God. And if I want to know that Most High God, if I want to come and dwell under His shadow, I need to know His Son. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The Word who dwelt in the bosom of the Father, He hath come to make Him manifest, to show Him forth. And if you want to know this God, you need to know His Son. What better way to get to know a Father than to know a Son? We know that in human terms. How much more so in heavenly terms? And so verse 1 is the character of God. Verse 2 is the exercise of personal faith. Now I can know all it's possible to know about God. I can understand what the Spirit of God is telling me in verse 1. And He's telling me some wonderful things. But unless I put my hand out and I grasp what I'm being told and appropriate it to myself, it will do me no good at all. And so in verse 2, notice what the psalmist says. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. We don't have time to go into those two words this morning. But he's making a personal commitment to God. Notice the next phrase, my God. You ever looked into the face of heaven and very simply said, my God? A personal claim on God. Notice the end of the verse. In Him will I trust. A personal confidence in God. So, ground two for this feeling of security is to be able to make a personal commitment to this God. Make a personal claim on this God. And express personal confidence in this God. And so when we come to verses 3 to 8, we find that having come to know this God, having come to exercise faith in this God, we learn how faithful He is to us. And that's the summary, if you like, of verses 3 through to 8. But we're not going to look at 3 and 4 this morning. And I want to look with you at the principles of protection. The principles of protection. Because what happens as we come to know this God, and as we come to place our personal trust in Him, He moves into our lives. And He brings into our lives the protection that we need. Now we're going to use the word protection this morning many times. But you know something? It only occurs in Scripture once. And that's in a term of derision. But you know, the principle of protection is taught from Genesis 1 to the last verse in Revelation. What happened with Adam and Eve? They needed protection from the wrath of God. And so He clothed them in skins. A sacrifice was made and they were clothed. There's the principle of protection brought out for us in the early part of the Bible. You go to Revelation. And right through the whole of Scripture, you'll see the principle of protection available. Now I want to look at a number of things, but before I do, let's think about the psalmist's protection. The psalmist's perspective, rather. Because we're going to learn something about this. When do we go to God? Almost in a sense of panic. When the problem has come, isn't that true? Something happens in our lives and we rush into the presence of God. But you notice what the psalmist is doing here. He's talking about his problems as a background against which the glory of God can shine. Do you look at your problems? Do I look at my problems? And do I say to myself, well, you know, let's forget the problem. Let's look at what God is going to do. I suspect we don't very often. Because sometimes the problems through which we pass overwhelm us. But every time the psalmist speaks about a problem in these verses, he speaks about what God does. And so the immensity, if you like, of the problem is lost in the mind of the psalmist because he sees a God who's going to move into that problem and who's going to help him. And so as we look at the idea of protection, we want to look at protection needed and protection provided. Now, who needs protection? Well, if we read those two verses in the psalm, what sense comes out of it? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His shield, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We talk about the snare of the fowler, and the noisome or the destructive pestilence. And what sort of an object do we see? Well, I'm going to suggest we see something small. We see something weak. We see something unsuspecting, we see something unarmed, and we see something unprotected. And as we read those verses and we think of whoever it is that is entering into these difficulties, I believe this is the picture that comes. For example, we'll talk about the fowler's snare in a minute. What are we talking about with a fowler's snare? A small, weak bird. What in this world is more weak than you or I? If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't survive a day. Look at the forces, both human and inhuman, that are set against us. And Paul writes particularly about the Christian, wrestling not with flesh and blood, not the things that we can see, but the powers and principalities in heavenly places. And I'm going to suggest to you that as we look at the need for protection, we see something small, weak, unsuspecting, unarmed and unprotected. Now we don't like to be put in those terms. You know, we are strong. We can resist anything that comes. I suggest we can't. And I suggest the very use of these things in this passage is reminding us that we are weak and unsuspecting. And so protection is needed, if you like, by the average human being who has no chance of standing against the powers that are arrayed against them. Particularly when we come to know God, particularly when we come to exercise faith in who He is, we become the objective of all the forces that are set against God, no focus on us. And what chance do we have as the power of Satan is directed against us? And so it's the weak, feeble human being, I would suggest, that needs protection. No, what do I need protection from? Well, the two things talked about here are, first of all, the fowler's snare and the noisome pestilence. No, we don't have too much of fowler's snares today. It's the same later on when he talks about arrows flying by day. We don't walk the streets of Brentford and somebody fire a whole mass of arrows at us. And so if these things don't have the reality today that they had then we must look for the principle that's behind them. Now, think of the fowler's snare. Now, Amos talks about a spring net. And Jeremiah talks about cages. Well, why did they want birds? Well, as you go through Scripture, you find that they wanted birds for two things. One was for singing, and the other was for stew. And so they set out to catch these birds. No, you didn't hang a big loop of rope or string in the middle of the air. The birds are not stupid. They're not going to fly into that and put their head in a noose. So what do? With a snare that's going to catch a bird. You cover it with something, and you put something attractive on top of it. And the bird comes down to take that which is attractive, and it's caught in the net. And I'm going to suggest to you that as we apply the idea of the fowler's snare today, we are looking at evil under apparent good. Remember, Satan is an angel of light, says Scripture. And so what happens is this, that he puts in front of me something that looks lovely. Oh, and how many times does a Christian say, there's nothing wrong in that? I tell you, if you have to say that, then there is something wrong. Oh, I can do this because there's no wrong in it. I can go there because there's no wrong in it. What happens? You're caught. You're hooked. As Satan draws you by something that apparently looks good. And before you know where you are, you're caught in this net. And so I'm going to suggest to you that the fowler's snare speaks of evil hidden behind apparent good. And by the way, you may remember from Scripture that birds have had a price. You could get 2 sparrows for a farthing. And as a bargain, you could get 5 for 2 farthings. So you see how important they were in that day to the people. And so people would go out and catch these birds that they might sell them. And they would catch them by a fowler's snare. Evil covered by apparent good. What about the pestilence then? Now the word can be translated mischief, calamity, plague. A destructive pestilence. What do we have here? We have an unseen evil. How is a pestilence transmitted? It's transmitted from person to person by objects that are so small you can only see them under the most powerful microscope. insidious, evil unseen, and reaching into the life of the believer. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We can see that. We're going to wrestle against a fellow human. We can see him. But Paul says we don't wrestle against those things. We wrestle against principalities and powers in heavenly places. The unseen evil. And so we, the weak humans, need protection from evil hidden by apparent good. And we need it from the unseen evil that is ever present around us. Who provides protection then? Well, you notice right throughout those verses, he shall deliver thee, he shall cover thee under his wings, his truth. And so protection is going to be provided by the God of whom we have spoken in verse 1. And he's mentioned, of course, with two other titles in verse 2. That God, who is the absolute in authority and the absolute in provision, in sufficiency, because I lay hold of him in personal faith, that God is going to move into my life and he's going to deliver me from the evil under apparent good, and he's going to deliver me from the unseen evil. Now, what's he going to do? Well, let's have a look at the words that are used. He shall deliver thee. He shall cover thee. He will provide under his wings and through his truth and his steadfastness. Let's have a look for a moment at this word deliver. There are 25 words for deliver in the Old Testament, three of which are used in this psalm. In verse 15, the word deliver is to draw out. In verse 14, the word deliver is to let escape. But in verse 3, it's to snatch away. 165 times in the Old Testament, this is the word. He's going to snatch away. Look, the bird is about to alight upon a snare that it cannot see, upon a snare that is hidden behind good. And the deliverer snatches it away. And as I'm bound to come under the danger that is posed by evil covered by good, God reaches down and snatches me away. He shall cover thee. 22 words used for cover in the Old Testament. This one means to hedge in. He shall cover thee. He shall hedge thee in with his feathers. We'll develop that as we look at the idea of wings. So the feathers, figuratively of course, the feathers of God are going to wrap themselves around me and going to hedge me in. Will provide under his wings. The wings are going to form a covering. And I'm going to suggest to you that this is the safest refuge in the animal kingdom. You go to challenge some chicks on a field, where do they go? Under the mother's wings. And you remember the Lord Jesus was so sad in Matthew and in Luke, where he says to Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen's gathered her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. And the charge that the Savior is laying to the people of Jerusalem is they wouldn't come under the protection that he offers. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about the Lord and the church, it says he nourisheth it and cherisheth it. And the word cherish there is to gather under one's wings as a chick would gather her chicks. And so as this danger comes upon the child of God who is resting in the character of God by faith, God says, under my wings, under my wings. Safest place in the animal kingdom we are directed to for security by the psalmist. Look at the last one. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. His steadfastness, the fact that he is always the same. Now here the psalmist uses the safest protection in the human kingdom at the time of writing. There are a number of words for shield in the Old Testament. This one is a big shield that goes all around and protects them. You've seen the Romans using them. You've seen the old warriors of years gone by using these shields. They look as though they're too heavy to carry, but they come right round. And you know that the Romans' trick as they came and they approached the city was to put these shields up so they formed a solid roof. And God says in this psalm, my truth will protect you in this manner. If we know the truth of God, we have the wherewithal to put aside the danger that comes unseen. You know, I've heard people say, well, yes, if I know the word of God, I'll be quite safe. How many people spend time in the word of God so they might know it? His truth will be no good to us, any more than he will be no good to us, unless we exercise a personal faith in God and take the time to look at his truth. Look at the other one. It's a buckler. Ever worn a buckler? Of course we don't. We don't wear those things today. Well, we do. You see, we're coming back to body armor, aren't we? Things that will deflect a bullet. Body armor. Well, that's all this is. And in the days in which this was written, the massive shield and the body armor was the safest protection for a human being. Remember what Paul says when he talks about putting on what? The whole armor of God. Here's the New Testament counterpart to what we are learning here. And so we need to take protection under God's truth, which will be as to us as a shield and as a suit of armor. So we want to feel safe in 1998. We want as Christians to feel safe from the things that the evil one is going to bring upon us. And so we reach back to the time of the psalmist and we look at this psalm and see how he spells out for us the way that we can obtain protection. First of all, knowing and appreciating who God is. Secondly, exercising personal faith in that God. And thirdly, watching that same God work in our lives in a very beautiful and wonderful way. We need protection because we're weak, we're unsuspecting, we're unarmed, we're unprotected. And we need protection from the work of the evil one. And the psalmist says, this very God in whom you've placed your trust, he will cover you with His wings. He will snatch you away when that final trap is about to close on you, because you've been stupid enough to be attracted by what is put on that trap to draw you into it. But because you have your faith and trust in Him, as you move towards that trap, He's going to snatch you away. And as the unseen danger comes, you know, you wonder about chicks. I'm not a farmer, as some of you have been here. But you wonder sometimes, I suppose on some occasions, the chicks sense the danger. On other occasions, the mother will give a signal that will draw the chicks into the protection of her body. And this is what God wants to do with us. To keep us free from the unseen evil that's around us, He wants to draw us to the warmth of His presence. Sometimes we don't like to be drawn. Sometimes God tries to draw us, we resist a little bit. How stupid we are. We can do nothing to protect ourselves, and this wonderful God is drawing us into the warmth of His presence. His truth will provide a protection. Knowing the truth of God will equip us to defeat the enemy. And so the next time you see a chicken encouraging the chicks to come under her wings, think about God and yourself. And as you need protection, acknowledgement of who He is, and appreciation of our own personal faith will bring us into a situation where He'll draw us into the warmth of His body. 356 for our closing hymn. You can thank Father as we come to the end of this time together. We would express again our gratitude for Thy word. When we think how through history men and women have laid down their lives that we might have it in our hands today, and that we might read of it as Thy truth, which shall be to us as a shield and buckler. Father, we have been reminded of the need for protection, not of the body in which we dwell, but of the soul that rests within that body. And Father, we have learnt this morning that protection is found first of all by knowing Thee and Thy character, by exercising a personal faith, and by watching as we go into problems how Thy goodness is seen. We commit Thy word to Thee and ask Thy blessing upon it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.